Hello and welcome to the Christmas edition of the V2 Football Podcast. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and joining me I've got Shane Lees.
Hello.
And Harry Philby.
Merry Christmas everyone.
And a Happy New Year.
Except if you're Jose Mourinho.
You're saying that's a bad Christmas for Jose. He's just got like £24 million.
Yeah.
That's the best Christmas ever. He doesn't have to do that terrible job anymore. And he's rich.
Well, I'm quite pleased we've gotten to the subject of Mourinho within 20 seconds. 20 seconds. I'm quite impressed.
Technique from Mo Salah, who gets in on the act. But that is surely Liverpool's day now. Wayne Rooney has completed his hat trick from inside his own half. Looking for Barnes. Oh, that's spectacular.
Manchester City champions, and it's been decided in their favour at Old Trafford.
A couple of things to open the show. First of all, Burton Albion are in the EFL Cup semi-final after beating Middlesbrough 1-0. League One club making it that far, pretty incredible run. They've beaten Burnley on the way and a handful of other championship clubs. Great for the competition to have a team like that making it that far.
Yeah, it's normally one every year, so it's good for there to actually be one. I don't think there was one last year, but normally there is one or two League One clubs that get quite far, and it's good to see.
I'm hoping they get to the final because it'll be nice to not have, you know, the very traditional bigger clubs up against one sort of middling Premier League team ending up being a final. It's always fun, I think, in cup competitions when you can see games that you wouldn't ever be able to see. Like, with a League One team facing a Prem team or a League Two team facing a Championship team, you just know it's not going to happen, and it's not going to happen for many years. So it'd be great to see a final with a League One team getting in it, and hopefully they could upset one of the big boys.
Mm-hmm. Who was it who got to the final with Swansea? Was it Bradford?
That was it, yeah.
Yeah,
that was,
and they lost 5-0.
Yeah, it went quite badly, you thought Bradford, but they played well until that point.
As a day out for the fans, though, even if they got to the final, I'm sure they don't really care. I'm sure their fans don't remember even what the result was. They just think, oh, we got to the League Cup final. It's, you know.
When Southampton were in the Johnston's Paint Trophy final, it was still great, and that's barely even a competition.
What happened in that final? I genuinely don't remember that.
We won.
Oh, congratulations.
We won, of course.
So that
Alan Pardew. I think that might have been Alan Pardew's most recent trophy.
What do you get as a prize for winning the it's called the something else now. It's not the JPT anymore, is it? But what do you get as a prize?
Because EFL
the prize
Cup,
for the
isn't
other
it?
Ones is Europe.
Or is that
we got a lifetime supply of Johnston's paint.
Isn't it the EFL Cup because you've got the under 23 clubs in it now?
Yeah,
and there's all the
that's
controversy.
Really cool. I really like that as an idea.
It's a nice idea, but if you actually look at what it's done to attendance, it's nuked the competition.
Well,
like, it's broken it.
Well, recently there were riots, I wasn't going to mention, but Stoke v Port Vale came up as one of the ties, and I happened to be in Stoke at the time. I was listening to local radio because I wanted to find out why I was stuck in traffic. But yeah, I know about a week before they were angry about this game and how it had been organised because the competition is seeded according to region. And then they said there'd be trouble, and then lo and behold, there was trouble. I think about 6,000 people turned up for this game. So, you know, that's one game where attendances have been boosted by it. But yeah, loads of crowd trouble.
Well, yeah, that's a local rivalry, so that's always going to be a bit more.
But yeah, overall, I mean, we could have a half an hour debate, but I think there's a few other things we should discuss tonight. apparently Wolves are looking at signing Pepe, the former Real Madrid centre-back. He joined Besiktas, but his contract's been terminated after allegedly they can't afford his wages. I'm sure he's on quite a good wage to join that sort of club. But yeah, apparently Wolves are in for the centre-half.
That would be an absolutely ridiculous signing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's an old bugger now, but as a player, you don't get that much worse from one year to the next.
Especially as a centre-back.
When you're at that level. Yeah, it's when you're a centre-back goalkeeper, you don't get that much worse. I mean, they would be getting still a Champions League quality centre-back. Mm. That would just be... And the thing is as well, if they sign him, that's when you've always got to start wondering what the hell is their wage structure like at that club. That's when, even with all the money they've got, you've actually got to ask, is that genuinely sustainable for profits that Wolves, of all clubs, are going to actually be making? I think that's one of those ones a bit like City, where it's all coming out at the moment. What's going wrong with their sort of financials? at least the things which were not quite ethical, shall we say, about some of it. Clearly going to come out about Wolves at some point.
See, it's interesting you say that, because I think it all sounds like paper talk. I think it all sounds like either his agent or somebody trying to get him one last payday and just being like, oh, who likes Portuguese players? And just be like, Wolves. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I'd be amazed.
Wolves signed Jose Mourinho.
Well, I guess we're going to talk about that later. We've already talked about Jose three times, and it's been about 7 minutes.
So, I don't know if you can bring this into conversation somehow. Gary Medel, who used to play for Cardiff City under a certain manager, currently at Besiktas, is also being linked with a move to West Ham. So, I don't know if there's issues at Besiktas. It's just coincidence that they've come up twice. But, yeah. Okay.
I don't know that much about it, so...
Okay, and finally, Gareth Bale scored a hat-trick today in Abu Dhabi to send Real Madrid to the Club World Cup final, winning their game 3-1. I'm sure we're all following the Club World Cup closely, that prestigious competition.
I love the Club World Cup final, but only on Football Manager when I am managing a really bad team and it gets me another trophy and I can end up winning something like a sextuplet just by being in that competition. Apart from that, in the real world, it has no meaning whatsoever unless you're Brazilian.
I was just going to say that, yeah. I thought for a split second that you actually really were watching it then, and I'd offended you, but that's all good.
No, God, no. No, it's one of those competitions that in Europe we don't care about it because we know that all of the other nations, yeah. You know, clubs just aren't even anywhere close to that level, but they do care about it in some other places because they have some sort of perception that we care about it, but we don't.
Okay, so following on from that, we'll talk about the big story of the week. I don't know if you've heard, but Jose Mourinho has been sacked as Manchester United manager.
Has he?
No.
Okay, so first of all, do you guys think it was the right decision to sack him?
Yes and no.
Oh.
Yes, it was the right decision to sack him, and I thought he definitely should be losing his job at Man United. I don't agree it's the right decision to make right now. For one thing, you've got an absolutely massive payoff that you have to do as well. And yes, I know it's Man United and, oh, they're absolutely bleeding money. I mean, it's all kind of lies on that front. Look at the club's debt for a second, guys. But, yeah, £24 million is still £24 million, no matter how you look at it. But also, right, here's the thing. So they're finishing outside the top four as it currently stands. I think they're still going to finish outside the top four. They're probably not going to finish lower than seventh. And I think with Mourinho in charge, they still wouldn't finish much lower than seventh. Players are going to be... Well, they were going to be unhappy before under Mourinho. Now they're just going to be uncertain about exactly what's happening. I don't really see there's anything gained by doing it this early. For me, this just reeks of a bit of a panic moment, a bit of a reaction from the board of going, well, we've got to do it, so let's do it now. It's a good decision that they've decided to go with a caretaker manager and not just rushed in to go and bring in some other big-name manager and giving them half a season straight away, getting involved in it. I think that's always going to lead to disaster. You can only really do that if you're a club that's in relegation or something like that. That's the only way it really works for those types of appointments. For a big club, though, they need to take that time. So I agree, it's good to take the time. But if they knew they were going to pull the trigger on Mourinho, you just wait until summer. You know you're going to do it anyway. Get it all set up beforehand. There's not really going to be secrets around it. Or tell the manager up front, we're not going to be renewing your contract in summer, or we're going to be terminating it. Summer, give them, say to them, you know, this is the last chance to go and get a trophy at this club, so go out and try and win one of our cup competitions. You know it's not going to get any better than it is. So why make the decision now when you know that the decision you're making won't make it any better either? That's the bit that's baffled me.
Yeah, I kind of agree that about the timing is really odd. I don't get the idea of sacking a manager after losing away at Anfield anyway. Like, I know they were rubbish, but it seems like that's almost an excuse to do it. In a way, but for me, it does depend on how things go in the next 6 months. Because the only justification I can have, or I can think of, for sacking Jose now instead of later, is to make it easier to appoint a director of football. In a way, and that shouldn't really make it easier. But that's the only thing I can think of, is because they'll probably be looking at that over the next 6 months. But yeah, it does depend on how things go for the next 6 months as to whether it looks like it will be a bad choice to sack him now or in the summer.
I don't think it will look like it will be a bad decision. This decision was clearly made because either the players were disaffected and then they've essentially revolted against Mourinho, and in which case I think that's an issue of your board has all the wrong priorities. You're not supposed to keep the players happy. It's the manager. That's his job. or it's a case of they want to restructure. And I'm sorry, you're the board, just tell Mourinho it's happening. Just say to him, this is what is happening. We're the ones who pay the wages. We're the ones who decide what happens to this club. This is how it's going to be. Or again, you know you're sacking him at the end of the season anyway. Just go out and find a director of football and say, yeah, we'll appoint you at the end of the season. Don't get another job until then. You know it's going to happen. So start getting your stuff ready at the moment. I mean, there is essentially reverse gardening leave you can go into. So it's easy ways of doing it. With the Liverpool thing at Anfield, I can kind of understand it. One, because it's a rivalry match that they lost, but two, is the way they lost it. Mm. Especially, I think I commented on our own little V2 chat, but I thought what was really disgraceful was the last 20 minutes the way that Man United players just down with tools. Mm. They conceded that second goal and then just went, we're not going to get an equaliser here, so give up, let's just see how many we can concede. Most, and that was disgraceful. And when you have that, I think that's when a manager's decision can become a bit untenable. But I think again, you've got to look at the players for that one.
I was going to say, how much of that is Mourinho's fault? At some point, their players have to realise themselves that they're being unhelpful. And
I think it's hard to describe the whole way he's treated Pogba. I think Pogba is an absolute disgrace to the club. I'm not even a Man United fan, and I think he is toxic.
What did
I
you
think
make of his?
He's an absolute disgrace treating the club the way he is.
There was some comment about a tweet which he did about an hour after with a look on his face, sort of a knowing sort of look, like a cocky almost look, about an hour after it happened, looking at the camera and saying, caption this. He said it was a timed tweet. Do you think it was he knew what he was doing, or do you think it was just unfortunate?
The reason why I maybe will consider that it was an accident is because Pogba doesn't strike me as the kind of person that would give in to the pressure from everyone else to delete it, if you know what I mean. Like, I feel like if he really meant it, he would have kept it anyway. Mm. Like when Willian posted that picture of the Chelsea squad with Antonio Conte photoshopped out.
He
knew what he was doing and he wanted to do it and like to make a point. Whereas it is possible that this could be considered a mistake from Pogba.
The thing is, I don't think it even matters in the slightest. I think Pogba has held that club in such contempt since he's joined. He clearly thinks he's bigger than the club. Mm. He thinks he's one of the best players in the world. He thinks he's maybe the best player in the world. And it's fine, okay? You can have that completely selfish attitude on a football pitch as being a footballer in a football team. You can have that selfish attitude if you put in 100% every single week. If you act like you're the best player in the world on the pitch. You can get away with it. That's what Ronaldo does. Ronaldo doesn't play for the team. He doesn't play for the manager. He doesn't play for the club. What he plays for is Ronaldo. But the thing is, because he's playing for Ronaldo, he goes out on that pitch and he does every single thing he can do every single week. In training, he does it every single week. Pogba chooses his moments. He's a good Mario Lemina. Hot and cold. What's the point? What's the point in being good in the games that are only on TV? Mm. I'm sorry. And when people said, oh, why was he dropped from the Liverpool game? Sorry, did you see how bad he was against Southampton? That wasn't just a bad performance of Pogba. That would have been a disgrace in a Southampton shirt.
I agree. I think he's been terrible all season, and I want rid of him, to be honest, as well. I think in terms of this tweet, the fact that it was released at dead on the hour, I think it was just an unfortunate coincidence, and it did have some sponsor hashtags. So, yeah, I think in terms of this tweet, I think it's a bit of bandwagon jumping in the media, creating a story out of nothing. But in general, I think Pogba's attitude is abysmal, to be honest. And I'm not sure that whoever we get in as manager will see any sense. And it almost makes you think back to when Fergie, you know, decided not to give him a contract. Well, he did turn down the contract. Fergie didn't push as hard as he could have done to make him sign, and he ended up leaving. Makes you think, was he right about him? You know, did he know what he was doing? Because he got
there
slated.
There is a reason. Yeah, there's a reason why he got released from that club in the first place. It's a bit like the Ravel Morrison thing. If you tell a player's got the ability, the technical ability, the physical ability to be a footballer, they don't have the mental ability. It's kind of irrelevant. So I always think in these sorts of questions, that Man United almost need to ask themselves, what would Ferguson do? Not what would Jesus do, what would Ferguson do? In that instance, you can kind of understand what would be the right call. And in the right call in this one is you get he's just a bad element in the club. Because no matter who he brings in, you end up in that Chelsea situation. We've got a dressing room that knows all it's got to do is have one or two of those players revolt, and all of a sudden that manager's his time's up. It's just a matter of time until he's gone. I think he's such a disruption to the team, and it's not worth it. Okay, maybe if it's your striker scoring 30 goals a season, maybe you let him have the rule of the roost a little bit. A bit like Hazard, where he's a game winner in almost every single game for Chelsea. Pogba's a midfielder who doesn't influence games.
Mm. Yeah. But when you look,
I mean, you've got to think that now though is his chance to remedy that. He's been given, you know, if his problems was with the football and with Mourinho, now's his chance to really say, okay, I'm gonna be the professional that I was expected to be. And if he doesn't by the summer, then I'd get rid of him. And
that's I think he's had his chance. Thing is, if he's done it is with this one manager, and Jose Mourinho, yes, he can be very difficult, everyone knows this, but he's also one of the best man managers in football.
Yeah, he's top two managers in the world.
He is one of the best man managers in football, because you look at how he's done things. He's not done things from being a tactical, you know, masterclass. He's had a fairly routine way of going about matches. He's done it because he gets the best out of whatever players he's with. You look at some of the teams he's had in the past, and some of his players were not good enough to win titles or trophies. He's got the best out of them. If Mourinho can't get the best out of Pogba, then who is going to get the best out of Pogba? If he was willing to do this for Mourinho's Man United, and Mourinho wasn't going to ever let him get away with this, what manager is going to be able to control him? This is a guy who can't be managed. You need to put him in a club where they're going to treat him like Ronaldo at Real Madrid and say, right, you do your own thing. As long as you're performing every week, we don't care. You don't even have to listen to a manager. Just do your own thing out there. And as long as you're winning games, that's fine. Premier League, you're not going to be able to get away with that.
France managed to get the best out of him.
Who?
France managed to get the best out of him for the World Cup.
It's because he's not really playing. It's the World Cup. He's all about his big moments, Pogba. He's a YouTube player, perfectly epitomised. He's there for the big moments, there for the TV moments. That's what he's designed for. In games against, say,
Southampton.
Okay, perfect example. Southampton. A game against Southampton, a little crappy club on the south coast, where you should be bullying that midfield of Højbjerg, who can be bullied, and what was it, Lamina at the time? He should have walked from midfield. He should have strutted his stuff and eliminated us easily. Instead, it's a bit of an awkward 15 minutes. Højbjerg's knocked me around a couple of times. I'm not sure if I can be bothered for this. No, don't try for the rest of the game.
Okay, yeah, and also talking about the World Cup, just purely from like a tactical sense, one of the reasons Pogba was so good is because Kante was doing like all of his defending for him that you need to do as a midfielder. Like that, like when you had Kante alongside you doing all this stuff that you were meant to do as a midfielder that Pogba doesn't, then that's one of the reasons I think he was so good at the World Cup. But yeah.
Yeah.
Not worth it, Pogba. He's not a Ronaldo. Ronaldo will play well in 35 out of 38 games in the season. Pogba's maybe, what, even half that? That's what's the point in having such a disruptive element in your dressing room? They're not winning the majority of games. No point.
The thing is, if you look at the rest of the United team, I'm reading Michael Carrick's book at the minute, which I'd recommend reading, but he was saying about if younger players, particularly if they sort of fall out of line, there'd be players like Scholes and Giggs and Gary Neville who would sort of put them into line and have a word with them or whatever. I don't see a player at United who's like that. Maybe Zlatan back a couple of years ago, but I don't see any sort of, you know, Valencia's our club captain, but he's not that sort of player. We've not got that
There's only one player I see in that United team who seems to actually, you know, on the pitch, what I can see is having a go at those players and not doing it in I'm having a strop, I'm having a whine type of moment. And do you know who it is? It's not the one you'd expect. Jesse Lingard.
Yeah.
You watch him on the pitch, and when you know they concede and all of that, like, he's not doing the Pogba thing, just throwing a little strop and going, oh, why didn't you help me defend that corner? Because Pogba, that's your bloody man. That's your fault, not anyone else's. He's the one who's actually telling people what they should be doing. It's remarkable for a player of his age and for his seniority in the club, which is not high at all.
That is a
firm example. If your essential closest thing to a team leader you've got is Jesse Lingard.
No, I completely agree with you. I think the only two players who've come out of this season with any credit, Jesse Lingard and I think Marcus Rashford, who consistently tries and works really hard. I think those are the two players for me, and Martial as well, who's got a good goal-scoring run. I mean, you really struggled to see players in the team. I think, you know, we can spend 10 minutes, however long it was, you know, having a go at Pogba, but there's numerous players who either haven't performed or aren't good enough for United. We can't just lay all the blame at him.
Yeah, I think there's some players who aren't good enough for United, but there's also players who can be good enough for United if there's the other people around them. For instance, Chris Smalling. Chris Smalling is not the best defender in the world. He's not the best defender even for England. But in a Man United shirt, I think he can do it. I think he is good enough to go out and do it, provided he's playing along centre-backs or full-backs who are actually good enough to kind of raise him up that level. You know, if he was playing alongside Azpilicueta, for instance, you would bring him up that kind of level. Sometimes you need a player like that. Put it this way, that was how Virgil van Dijk became as good as he was, because he had Jose Fonte next to him, telling him when to go, when to stop. He was telling him what to do it every single time.
The other way around?
Because when Van Dijk first joined us, that was not at all the case.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Van Dijk learned from what Fonte did, and now you see him in a Liverpool shirt, and he's doing the exact same thing. Sometimes you need leaders. You need people who can organise effectively to actually bring those players up. And you look at especially like the back line and probably the central midfield, you don't really have those players. You have those players who are looking for instructions. And I think you look at like previous United teams, yes, it didn't all, like, especially like in the late Ferguson years, it wasn't full of stars. It wasn't full of, you know, world-class players. They had just enough players who were that good in those positions, who were leaders, to raise up the level of almost around them. That's what United need at the moment. And that's what they're sorely lacking. And that's what players like Pogba, players I'd also say like Sanchez, they're the antithesis of this. They drag people down. When it's going badly, they don't want to be involved. They want to lift their head up. So they drag the other players around them down. Those are players you always cut out of your club. Again, what would Ferguson do? He'd get rid of Sanchez. He would get rid of Pogba. These players do not belong to the club.
Mourinho is still one of the top three or four managers in the world over the last 20 years. It has been just him and Guardiola. There is a massive case to be made that if he can't do it, no one can at the moment. And I'm not one of these people who just believes he's past it. I don't really believe that. I think he'll go to another club and be successful. It probably won't be in England, but I think he'll likely do another. He'll have another successful job as a manager.
With the odds of his next.
I agree completely with that assessment. And it, with Man United, everyone knows it's not just Mourinho. There's rot in the players. There's rot in the upper management. Man United would not have done this before. They would not have sacked a manager for December. They gave Moyes even more time. We haven't even run out of the period where Moyes' original contract went to, and they've sacked Moyes, they've sacked Van Gaal, and they've sacked Mourinho, and they've won no titles. So we're looking at that at the moment. We're thinking there's bigger problems than just Mourinho. Mourinho could do a lot better with a club that had better structure than United, with a club that had players who actually wanted to play for the team. I'm not saying he's, you know, he would last more than 3 years at most clubs, because clearly there's a bit of an issue there. I just think Mourinho could have had more success at United if the foundations for success were there.
I want to look at the guy who's come in to replace him, Solskjaer, who was one of my favourite players as a teenager. According to Moldy, the club he coaches at the moment, well, previously coached, I suppose you could say, they sort of saying it's a loan deal and he'll be back in the summer.
It literally doesn't matter. Like, that's the problem. Like, the reason it's good for United's sake is because he might be one of the few people out there that will be able to go in and be more respected than any of the players currently there. So that's one of the things with Pogba. If Pogba genuinely believes he's the best, most respected thing at the club, then Solskjaer is going to come in and everyone's going to love him just because of what he was for United. He doesn't need to do very well. He can maintain Mourinho's form and people will enjoy it more. He can play some slightly more attacking football. Because the fans are starved for it. But at the end of the day, it just does not matter who they bought in at all. They could have bought in Mark Hughes for 6 months, and the fact that they know that it's temporary means just the rest of the year is a write-off, is basically what they're saying. And the only thing that's really interesting about them appointing Solskjaer to me and having the interim manager thing is, for me, that writes off Zidane for the job. Because why would you not just bring him in now and give him 6 months to work with the squad, decide what he wants to do, and then pre-season? Because that's the one problem with the interim manager thing, is it means the new manager is going to come in and have to give his style to the squad within just a pre-season. And like, it depends who they get in, obviously, as to how good they'll be at doing that. But yeah, I think... good luck to Solskjaer. I hope he does well, but it is pretty much irrelevant what happens in the next 6 months for United.
I got to say, I do agree with that assessment. The thing is, this is why I said I don't agree with the decision to sack Mourinho, because what is the point? What are you going to do different in these next 6 months that you would have done if you hadn't had Mourinho, or if you had him? It doesn't matter at all. All it is to try and boost morale. And I think when you say that the players might have more respect for him because he's, you know,
the fans, I think.
Yeah. Well, the fans and all of that lot. But the thing is, I don't think the players will have any more regard for him, because there's just not enough proper United boys in that team who would go,
yeah, true.
God, this is the guy who scored two goals and, he scored the goal in the Champions League. Wow, this is amazing. They're not going to be that. Most of those players won't have seen that game. They won't have known what that was. Yeah. It's a good thing for the fans, because they can sort of get behind Solskjaer a bit more, get behind the team a little bit more, and that can hopefully lift up spirits, which is the whole aim of this. I also agree, what is the point? If you know you're going to be sacking Mourinho, and you know you're going to do it at the end of the season, tell him, say, look, this is coming to an end at the end of the season. Go out and win a trophy, because Mourinho can then go, well, I might as well just go out and put myself on the market, mightn't I? I'm going to go and just play the most ridiculous attacking football I can possibly do, try and win as many games as I possibly can, try and win a trophy, get myself out of it for my next job. Nothing to lose.
To put it into perspective about the thing you were just saying about some of the players there not really knowing that much about it, Rashford was born the year that Solskjaer joined United.
You see, I disagree with Jane because I think that Solskjaer coming in now is the perfect way to do it, because it gives the club 6 months to find the right man, whether it is Zidane, whether Solskjaer does really well and gets the job, or whether it's Pochettino, whoever it is,
for 6 months anyway. If you know you want to sack him, doesn't matter if you do it now or you do it 6 months down the line, you know you're going
to
do it.
I think if you put the money element to one side, I think Mourinho was a bad influence at the club. And I think, you know, we've got the January transfer market coming up. If we don't sign anyone because we don't want to back Mourinho because that's not the plan, you know, he just creates more of a fuss. And also, I think the fact he got sacked and the way none of it was leaked to the media beforehand, you know, there was talk but no one really knew, I think that was the best way, because had the club decided to get rid of him end of the season, I think it would have come out in the media, the scrutiny would have intensified. You know, we've been talking on this podcast for weeks and weeks and weeks about Mourinho and his meltdown. Every week it's been the topic of conversation, and it's been negative, 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 and rightly so. But I can't see how the club continuing that for the rest of the season would have been of any benefit to anyone. I mean, it's not like we're going to win the league. We're probably not going to get top four. So at least it's a bit of positivity for the fans and that, and Solskjaer. And it almost gives him a free 6 months go for me.
Yeah, I mean, I can completely understand that in terms of the positivity element, in terms of trying to turn the mental state of the club around. I also think at the same time it's going to make no practical difference to this season, and really no practical difference to the club. If they weren't going to back Mourinho, they're not going to back Solskjaer. And the fact that they've made this decision without any leaks kind of indicates to me this was something of a panic, late decision. This wasn't a decision they knew they were going to make before the Liverpool game. They made it on the basis of after that Liverpool game. Because Man United can't even keep their team sheets from being leaked. Everything's leaking out of Man United. If this was known to be happening days in advance of it happening, it would have got leaked already. There would have been really strong indications Mourinho is going to be sacked by Man United. It would have been so obvious it was coming. This was a very snap decision. The only evidence you can say against that is that they bought in Solskjaer so quickly. However, on the same time, Mould seemed to be more than happy to let him go. And I'm going to speculate he was more than happy to come. So I think that is something they could have got quickly done anyway. So I think this is an indication of a bit of a panic decision, and I'm sorry, that is not Man United. Mm. That is not what that club's supposed to be about.
It's been for the last 4 years.
But then, with 6 months to decide a new manager for next season and all, that's hardly a panic decision. That sounds like a carefully considered decision.
They had 6 months anyway. The time was going to be there no matter what, whether or not if they decided after the Liverpool game, right, Mourinho's done here at this club, it doesn't matter if they sack him then and there, they never can do it at the end of the season. They've still got all that exact time to go and find someone. To go and find a director of football and all of that lot. Makes a difference in this transfer window. They're not going to go out and get a director of football now and say, right, now you need to go and make these decisions and sign these players. It's the new manager who comes in might just turn around and go, what have you done? I did not even want this squad. It delays any real decision, and it gets rid of Mourinho to try and appease the fans, because they know the fans are turning. And I'm sorry, a big club shouldn't be doing that. A small club, yes, because you've got to try and dodge relegation or something like that. Big club, it is no real benefit. It just makes you look amateurish. It makes you look like you're not a big club anymore. I think that's what Man United in this whole thing have made themselves look like. I'm not the biggest fan of Gary Neville in the world. I think pretty much every single one of his predictions on Man United has turned out true. He was talking after the Liverpool game when he said, do you think Mourinho will be sacked? And he said, I wouldn't be surprised if the board made that decision because it's ridiculous. He's made a lot of the right calls in this, and his criticisms have generally been not of Mourinho or the players. Well, yeah, criticism of the players, but it's been of the board. The board are making mental decisions, and I think this is another one.
But he's bringing
just called them generally naive is the sort of tone he's gone for. Sorry, Dylan.
I was just going to say, bringing in a director of football seems the right thing, because that's the way that most clubs do it now, and United had an outdated structure, but partly because of Ferguson, and you know, Ferguson wasn't going to report to a director of football. Are they finally doing what they maybe should have done, you know, 5 years ago?
I think the biggest thing is, it's not Solskjaer, it's Phelan. Bringing back Mike Phelan as assistant manager, I think that's probably the biggest notable thing, because of all the people who will not tolerate some of those players' crap, It's Mike Phelan.
What's he been up to in the last few years?
He was at Hull for a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, I was just going to say he was at Hull. I want to ask, just to sort of wrap this up, because it's taken half an hour of the podcast, who do you think United manager next season? I saw Pochettino's favourite at 2-1, Zidane's 3-1, and Solskjaer to remain on the first day of the Premier League season next year is 4-1. Those odds are probably out of date as it's constantly changing, but that's what it is at the moment.
Yeah, so I think it does depend on whether they bring on and what they do with a director of football, because that is the only reason I can think why Zidane isn't a write-off at this point is, right, we'll take the time, we'll get a director of football in, and then we'll let them decide who the manager is. So maybe that's what the club are thinking now, is to the director of football is the first priority, and then it's the manager. But for me, I think I think Poch is the number one choice, I think, if you could pick anybody, because it also weakens Tottenham. But I actually think it's probably harder to get him than they're making out to be. Because genuinely, why would Poch go now? He's got a better squad at Spurs. He might not have as much money, but they're moving into a new stadium, all of this kind of stuff. So for me, I think the number one target should be Masallegri from Juventus. I think he would be a really good choice, just because there's been linked with a move away for a long time. But I think he'd be a really good target.
I do agree that Allegri would be a very, very good option for United.
Yeah.
I think he would be kind of difficult to get, but I think they're going to go for Pochettino. And actually, I disagree with you, Harry. When people say it's a lot harder to get Poch than they think it is, I don't think Poch has any real allegiance to Tottenham. In the same way, he didn't really have any real allegiance to Southampton. I mean, come on, he's an Argentinian manager who came from managing in Spain. Why is he loyal to Tottenham? It's ludicrous. Though people go, oh, Dele Alli's going to stay here forever. From MK Dons, he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care about Tottenham. Pochettino will go where he thinks he's going to be most successful. If he thinks he's going to be more successful at Spurs than he will at Man United, he'll stay at Spurs. If he thinks he's going to be more successful at Man United, he'll go to United. That's how it's going to work. And I think Man United will back him far more in a transfer market. Spurs have shown, they've proven they are not willing to really back him in the transfer market. As proof by their, minus £29 million net spend. They're not willing to spend that money, and they know it's a constant risk every single season of what happens if you lose one of these players. Because you're not going to be able to replace them, not for the money it's going to cost. You can't replace Eriksen. You can't replace Kane. So you lose those players, doesn't matter how much money you get, you're back to Gareth Bale. You lose him and you have to rebuild the entire squad all over again. So I don't think it's as unappealing for Pochettino to leave Spurs as everyone thinks it is. If anything, they're in a very precarious position with the new stadium. It's kind of no one knows what the future holds. No one knows what they're going to be financially. And Pochettino is going to have his own uncertainty. He's at United, it will be a new job, he'll have certainty there. They'll be telling him exactly what is the expectation, what he's going to have to spend, all of that kind of stuff. So I think it's a very realistic prospect. I think they're going to get Poch, but I think if they don't get Poch, they should go for Allegri. I don't think they will. If it's not Poch, I think it will be Solskjaer, unless he really badly messes it up.
So add a second caveat to that. If Poch went to United, who would go to Spurs?
One day Ramos.
Allegri. Mourinho.
Ralph Wilson.
Oh, Mourinho.
That would be sick. That would be so fun.
All right. Well, we'll leave Mourinho to one side for this week anyway. I'm sure he'll be discussed in the new year and wherever his adventures take him. In the second part of the show, we'll be discussing the other managerial change. I don't know if you've heard about that one with all the news about Mourinho. And also looking at the other side of the coin with Liverpool winning the game against United and now top of the league. But before that, we'll go on to the first round of the quiz. So Shane is this week's quizmaster, so over to you.
Yeah, quiz. Right. Listen, we have two quizzes. So the first quiz, it's going to be a case of it's son of a pitch, so it's first one goes, then the other goes. But I'm going to ask you a specific question each time. It's going to be all based on the same thing, but you can't choose which club you're going to be answering about. I'm going to tell you which club you're going to be answering. Okay. So the theme for the first quiz is I want you to tell me which clubs have had the most managers in the Premier League era.
Ooh.
Yes. So we're talking about Premier League clubs and how many managers they've had whilst they've been a Premier League team. They've dropped out of the league, gone to the Championship for a while. The managers at that point don't count when they were in the Premier League.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I'm going to start of
teams that have ever been in the Premier League. So it can be a lot
of teams who are currently in the Premier League.
The 20 in there now.
We're going to be going through this alphabetically.
Okay.
So, starting with Anthony, because you are A and Harry is H.
Okay.
I want you to tell me how many managers have Arsenal had in their Premier League era?
Arsene Wenger was in charge for a while, weren't he? And we've obviously got Emery now, so that's two. That was obvious. There must have been.
This one comes down to how when do you know when the Premier League started?
Yeah.
It was there beforehand.
I'd guess three or four. Go on, sorry, what were you going to say?
No, because I was going to say I'll say afterwards what I would have guessed.
Okay, I reckon three.
I would have said three.
It's four.
Four?
It's four.
Do caretaker managers count?
Nope.
Permanent managers, okay.
Permanent managers only.
All right.
Okay, so, Harry.
Yeah?
How many managers have Burnley had in their time in the Premier League? In the Premier League era?
I would have thought it's one.
Mm.
Is that your answer?
No, I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember if they've been in the Premier League before now. And they probably have been, but I can't remember when they were last in the Premier League or if they ever were. I'm going to go with one, just because it will annoy me if it's more than one.
It is more than one. It is three.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember Owen Coyle?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I vaguely remember.
I've only paid attention to the Premier League for like 6 years. So as far as I know, Burnley have always been in the Premier League.
I'd have guessed one, to be honest.
I've got a Burnley sports friend who will be very happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Right. Anthony? Brighton.
Hey. That's an easy one.
Chris Hughton's obviously there now. I'm sure Brighton were in it in the 90s at some point. Or were they? Yeah, my knowledge of 90s football is really poor, to be honest. It was sort of about 2003 or 4 or something where I sort of got... 2002 World Cup onwards, I know a bit.
Might need that 90s knowledge.
Yeah. I'm going to say 2.
Shane, can I answer for him?
You can answer for him, but you won't get a point.
It's 1.
Is it just you?
It is only Chris Hughton.
Oh, we're right, in the 90s.
This is the first time we've been in the top division for 35 years.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I thought that was an easy one I was giving you. There's a reason I've balanced
it. Yeah,
Harry, right question.
Yeah.
Right, Harry, you've got a slightly easier one now. Cardiff.
Cardiff?
Ooh.
Cardiff.
Okay. A slightly easier one, you think?
They've only been in the Premier League a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. And they had, last time they were up, they had Malky Mackay and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, funnily enough.
I thought you were going to forget him then.
No, yeah, that would have been quite funny. So have they been up any other times before that? I'm going to go with no, so I'll go with three.
Harry has the first point of the day.
So it's Ole Gunnar, Warnock and Malky Mackay.
That's right, yep. Cardiff only had three managers in the Premier League era. Right. Anthony, another slightly easier one. Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Yeah, one. It can't be more, surely.
Yeah.
That is one.
Yeah.
It is anyhow. Okay, now we're going to get into a realm where it's a little...
Wait. Why did I get Cardiff and then there was Bournemouth?
Oh, don't worry. It's all going to balance out.
Okay, all right. You're just trying to even it out a bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure everyone gets some fairly easy ones and some fairly hard ones.
Yeah,
right,
okay.
So, Harry, fairly hard one. Chelsea.
Chelsea, okay, all right.
Bonus point if you can name all of them.
Premier League's, oh my god, the Premier League's been around for about that many years. Is it 92, the Premier League?
I'm doing this off of a notepad document, so I can't remember.
Okay, all right. It's roughly then, isn't it? So they've had...
I thought it was 92 off the top of my head.
Yeah, okay. Problem is I don't know any of them before like 2003. So I'm going to go from 2003 onwards, which was Mourinho, Ancelotti.
It's 92.
Yeah, 92. Hudink doesn't count because he's been temporary both the times he's been there. So take that one away. Villas-Boas, the Di Matteo, that guy, that's four. Conte, Sarri, six. There's definitely two or three more that I'm missing. And then there's probably some before that. I'm going to go with nine.
Okay, that's wrong. It's 14.
14? Bloody yeah. hell. All right.
Yeah, Chelsea have gotten themselves around a little bit.
Yeah, fair Rangieri enough. Okay. As well, of course. I would never have worked my way up to 14.
Okay, I told you, we're in the hard zone now. Okay. Anthony, Crystal Palace.
That's fucking impossible. I'll give you that one.
I'm not going to try and figure it out, to be honest. So I'm just going to say a nice round 9.
Nine, Joe, you're not too far away.
I would have guessed 7. Oh, okay.
It's 11. Yeah, you're not too far away, but no points there. Harry, back into the difficult territories. Mm-hmm. Everton.
David Moyes was there for all the time in the world. So Moyes, Bobby Martinez, Ronald Koeman, Marco Silva, that's 4. Was Moyes around since the start of the Premier League era? And Allardyce, I forgot about him, that's 5.
How old do you think David Moyes is?
I don't know.
I'll give you a clue. Moyes
had a playing career as well.
Moyes was at Preston in the 90s.
If he's what, like 60 now, he could have been manager from after there.
David Moyes looks old.
It's that time at United's really aged him. If you look at him before United, he looks about 30.
It's like President Obama joined and then all of a sudden he was old. I just looked up Moyes. Your timing's just so Moyes.
I'll go with 9.
You've gone with 9.
It's probably more than that.
Oh, you're so very close. It's 10.
They've had 10
managers. Also, Moyes, he's 55. He started being manager of Everton in 2002.
Oh, okay. So there were 10 years. To be fair, I did think sort of 8-9 years there was before Moyes. For the Premier League was then, so fair enough.
All right, Anthony.
How is David Moyes 55? He looks about 85.
your harder one, sorry. Fulham.
Well, Chris Coleman was there a while ago. They got Ranieri and Djukanovic this season, so that's 3.
I'll give you Uwe Rosler as well, just because I like the man.
Oh, thank you. There's Felix McGath, who was at Bayern. There's the other one whose name escapes me. Uwe Rosler, that's a shout. Martin Jol was there for a bit, so...
Oh, wait, I don't think Uwe Rosler was the...
He was Wigan's manager.
I don't remember him being there. So I've named about 6. I get a point for each one I name as well, right? Because that makes me feel a bit better. so that's 6 or something. So...
Agaf was the one I was thinking of, not Uwe Rosler.
I think they were there...
confusing some German people.
I don't think they were there in the 90s, or much of the 90s, if they were... So, from that, I think I've got most of them. So I'm going to say 9.
You have made the exact same mistake as Harry. It is 10 again, so 0. Right, Harry.
Shane, can I just point out that this is an absolute crapshoot? We're just guessing.
You guys suck.
To be fair, we are doing quite bad.
Harry, your easier one. Huddersfield.
Huddersfield.
All right. 1.
Shockingly, that's correct.
They've never been in the top flight, or they haven't been in the top flight.
I think they actually won the top division.
Yeah, but they're another one, because we got promoted together and everyone started talking about Huddersfield and like, oh, it's a miracle, they haven't been there in so long, and all that kind of rubbish. So, yeah, 1.
Right, Anthony, Leicester.
That's a really good one.
You've got Shakespeare, Ranieri... my favourite manager, Klopp. I heard the hissing from here. You got the guy before Ranieri, Pearson, that's 4. But Leicester.
You are an ostrich, Nigel Pearson. that's my favourite football quote of all time.
I was trying to figure out why I was an ostrich then. I thought it was some sort of weird Brighton insult.
No, it's just that whole like sequence in that press conference is amazing. Just him like stumbling around for words and he opts for ostrich as an insult.
Yes. It's like he was briefly taken over by Eric Cantona.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so good.
Well, briefly, I'm just trying to think because I know Lineker obviously played there. He wouldn't have played for a championship. Well, yeah, club, surely.
I will say you've named all the ones I know.
Yeah, so 7.
I think it's probably more than that because we keep underestimating, don't we?
It is 10 again.
I think Gary Lineker did play for them in the second division, didn't he?
I don't know. That's not part of the quiz.
Looking it up. Boom!
No, you can't be looking.
Gary Lineker. He played for four seasons in the second division.
Tough question for you.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
Oh, that is an. I won't know. Right. Okay.
So, Jurgen Klopp's one.
Klopp. Yeah. Good start. Klopp, Rodgers. Was Dalglish permanent or an interim?
He was permanent.
Was he? Okay, that's three then. Then Benitez. There's somebody in between that as well, but I can't remember. I'm just gonna go for.
Do you want Gerard Houllier for free?
I'm gonna go for 13.
13.
12. I'm gonna stick with 13.
As well, I'll stick with 13
because it's what I said.
It's the first time we've had an overestimate. It was 9.
9. Oh, okay, that's way less than I thought. Okay.
Right, Anthony. Obviously, you are a Man United supporter, so I'm giving you City.
Oh, thank you. Roberto Mancini.
I was going to say this might be fairly gettable.
You've got so Guardiola, Pellegrini, Mancini, Mark Hughes. There have been some guy in before Hughesy. I don't think City were there in the 90s, so yeah. So you've got Mark Hughes. But they were there in the early 2000s because I interviewed John Macken earlier this season and he said so.
I will say everybody thinks City were a lot shitter than they were.
Yeah, well, I know City were there because I remember them getting a couple of big wins over United in the early 2000s. So I got four from about 2008 onwards.
Again, those are the only ones I know.
Nine.
Sure. I would have guessed six.
I should have guessed.
Not two.
I should have guessed 10 just to make the pattern. No, I'll stick with 9 because that's fair.
It's not too far away. 11. They've had 11 managers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any you can think of that not named?
I don't because, again, I've done this on Notepad. this is reliable, though. Trust me. I've got this from a very, very trustworthy source.
Shane's Notepad.
My dad. Harry. Mm-hmm. You're getting Man United.
Yeah, okay. So Ferguson was for all of the Premier League, so that's one. Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho. So I'm going to go... Ooh, wait, Ole Gunnar doesn't count. I'm going to go with four then.
Correct.
There we go.
Oh my God, Harry has got three answers correct and he's only got one. Harry is on the course to win a quiz.
Something's wrong.
You both now, though, have very difficult ones. So, Anthony, with you first. Newcastle.
That's vile. That's absolutely vile.
I'm not going to try and guess. I'm just going to say 16.
Oh, my God. That's so close.
Isn't it?
15.
15,
if you guessed
wow.
one less, you got the point. Yeah, Newcastle, 15 managers. Jesus Christ. Right, Harry. My club, Southampton.
Southampton. Right, again, I only know it from since you've been up after the lot, you know, in the last 7-8 years or whatever, because it was Adkins. Oh my God, who did you have after Adkins?
Pochettino?
I think it was Poch, but I suppose he was there for 2 or 3 years. So it was Adkins, Poch, Koeman, Pellegrini, and Claude Puel, and now, who have you got now? You had Mark Hughes, and then you have Hasenhüttl. I'd already lost count how many that was. That was 6 or 7, or something like that. But then I don't know anyone before that, and you were before that.
I'll say, don't forget how it was that we went down.
Yeah, you like fell apart.
There was Steve Wigley back twice. In the day, weren't there?
I'm not really allowed to give hints other than like really general stuff.
Well, you were relegated twice and then promoted twice, so you were out for at least 4 years. I really don't know. I only got into football the year that you were in League One with us and we got promoted, so I don't know anything really about you guys before that, so I'm going to go with 11. It's probably more than that.
It's miles away. Southampton lead the way with 18 managers.
Bloody
in the
hell.
Premier League era. Yeah, we are by far the furthest one.
Oh well, at least I got all the ones in the last 10 years. So.
Yeah, I mean Pellegrino, not Pellegrini, but
is it Pellegrino?
We'd have killed Pellegrino.
There's both. Oh, sorry, yeah.
Right. Anthony, it's another fairly tough one. Spurs.
Yeah. So we've got Villas-Boas, Pochettino, Harry Redknapp, Martin Yol, Wande Ramos.
There are so many
five,
for this one.
But there's got to be fuckloads from the 90s, so...
Yeah, this is... Although Shane's given it away by saying Southampton was the highest, so now you know not to go more than...
Yeah,
what,
I was
80.
I was aware of that, yeah. Because I've... Oh, God, no, because it must be right this time. That's 5. 11.
It's probably more than that, isn't it? I would have guessed more. I don't know. Shane?
The answer is 13.
Again, I don't know any of the ones in the 90s, but even in the last 10 years, they've had like 7. So
yeah, Tottenham had quite a few mentions. I think they are third most on this list, right, Harry? We're into the last three now. Watford,
right. Now, I'm trying to think if...
You have already won this quiz, Harry.
Okay, but I'm going for pride now, though. I'm trying to think... Walter Mazzarri wouldn't count. Walter Mazzarri... Which was the one? Jokanović was the one they got promoted with and sacked before they got there, so he won't count. Mazzarri would count. Then Kike Sanchez Flores, the nicest man in football. Then Javier Garcia, the guy they got now. Marco Silva. That's 4. Is it 4? It's probably not 4. It's probably more than that.
You guessing 4?
No, I'm going to guess 6. They might have been around well before that as well, though. That's
Harry,
just
you have got a lot of pride. The answer is 6.
Really? Who are the other 2?
I don't know. Oh, notepad. I keep telling you boys this. Notepad.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right. Anthony, West Ham.
Yeah. Okay, so...
That's another horrible one.
Yeah, you got Pellegrini and Moyes and stuff. They must have one of the highest, because they've probably been in the Premier League most of the time. They got relegated a couple of times.
They missed 1 year, so...
So I'm going to guess 15.
Not that high, I'm afraid. It's 11 for West Ham.
Oh, okay.
I suppose they had a few years.
Last one is Wolves.
Wolves. I don't know anything about them in the 90s at all. So I've got no hope with that. And they've only had Nuno since they got... I have literally no idea. I'm going with 7, just because they've been out of it for a long time.
Nope, it's 4. We've only had 4 matches at the time in the Premier League. But Harry, that means you've won your first quiz.
No, I've won my first round, haven't I?
You've won your first round. There is another round later. You can't lose. You can
I won a round in the last quiz.
No, I know.
Okay.
You're winning.
Winning. I'm currently in. Okay. Good.
Yeah, that was. You're not gonna like the next round of the quiz.
Am I not? Oh, God's sake.
Okay. Well, we'll return to the quiz later in the show. Hopefully, I can salvage a draw out of it. But I want to talk about the other managerial appointment, Ralph Hasenhüttl, who's come in. He's given all the fans a free beer at Southampton, so I'm sure they're all happy and they're all celebrating because they won at the weekend. They beat Arsenal 3-2. Seems to be a lot more positivity around the club. The team seems to be playing a lot better. What are your thoughts, Shane, first of all?
Yeah, it was an appointment I was very happy with personally. I'll say this as a starting point. Getting rid of Hughes was absolutely the right decision. We should have done it. It wasn't getting any better. It was not like last season, where with Pellegrino we were sleepwalking into relegation. This time we were walking into relegation, eyes wide open. We knew it was happening. Everyone could see it happening. Nothing was getting any better. It was only getting worse. So get rid of Hughes, absolutely right choice. I know most people don't disagree with it, because Hughes isn't really that well received these days. But yeah, that was not going well. I don't put it all on Hughes, though. I think it was just... It was clear. It was a bit like when Sunderland had got in good managers, and then the next season they could never turn it back around. It was one of those situations where you can't say it's too much to managers, more of a structure. Hasenhüttl, though, it's a proper Southampton appointment. It's one of those ones we've made not just to try and rush it or to make a quick decision to quick fix the club. We've tried to identify someone who actually fits in with the whole Southampton ethos. This is someone who has a very big commitment towards playing youth players. This is someone who wants to play attractive football, and this is someone who is ambitious. This isn't someone who's going to set up for being a mid-table club. This is someone who is ambitious, wants to get Southampton into Europe eventually. Everything we were doing before, which is a very, very good sign, and we completely destructured the top part of the club. We've got rid of Les Reed, so it's properly positive, I think, in terms of how we're trying to get back to what we were doing before. With the performance as well against Arsenal, it was a great win. And yes, when we scored, we did look a bit dodgy still. We did look like we were going to concede, but unlike in previous games where we conceded and we're just immediately ready to throw in the towel and concede a whole bunch more, when we conceded, we looked like we were going to score again. We have not looked like that in a very, very long time. I don't think there's a single club in the Premier League who've lost more points from winning positions than Southampton. So that should probably tell you about where we were before. To go and do that against unbeaten Arsenal was an incredible performance. And the players, the biggest ones were the likes of Højbjerg again, putting in a great performance. But the big surprise was Matt Target. On the left flank, as a left back, because... Yeah, you know, Bertrand was trying for the first five games. When he realised we were going down, he couldn't be bothered. He didn't try anymore. I think he's going to struggle to get back into the team.
Was Bertrand dropped, or was he like? Because I thought he was injured or something.
No, Bertrand was dropped. He just wasn't trying. He didn't care. Okay. He tried for the first five games. He was really good. Then he got dropped out of the England squad, and all of a sudden he couldn't be bothered anymore.
Okay.
So it was that sort of situation. But Target put in a brilliant performance, and we knew he could be a very good prospect, but he kind of got stunted behind Shaw, and then he got stunted behind Bertrand when we replaced Shaw with Bertrand. So now I think it's his time to sort of strut his stuff. Jan Valery at right back, I know I'm not a big fan of having foreign players in the youth academy. He's a French player, but again, he looks really, really self-assured. He was a very good player, and I can see what we're trying to do again. I know it's very, very early days, and obviously we've got a win at home, which is our first home win of the season. What we need to do now is try and get some consistency. So the game against Huddersfield, we need to at least draw it, but probably win it. It is away from home, but I think we need to at least get a draw there. You know, stop the hemorrhage of losses. But I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. It's the right kind of signs. It's the right kind of movement we're going into. This isn't the case of like when we brought in Mark Hughes before, where it's clearly someone to help you avoid the drop. With this guy, I can tell we brought him in thinking 3-4 years in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely the right kind of movement. And it's nice to not be so negative about Samson for once, because I think for once the board have made a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think I won't be able to prove this, but I think I should work for Southampton, because when I was talking to my dad about a month or so ago about who would replace Mark Hughes at Southampton, I did say Hasenhüttl. So, you know,
yeah, he
job. But to be fair, he was... literally, like, he's built for your club. He promotes youth players. He plays attacking, pressing football. He's, you know, he does whatever. Was the beer thing, was that him or was that the club?
No, that was him.
Yeah, exactly. He seemed to promote a really good environment around RB Leipzig. He didn't spend a stupid amount of money, despite them having a stupid amount of money. They were mostly about promoting youth players and young players. He is literally the perfect fit for you. I think it's about as good as you could get.
I mean, we knew... he was our first choice. He was not it was well known he was our first choice for what we wanted to get for this club. And as I said, it is a case of it's a very good fit for a club. We've just got to start putting in together a run of form towards the end of the season. It doesn't really matter where we finish the season as long as we avoid relegation.
Yeah.
What matters is we can start to show consistency again, start to show our quality again, and then next season we can start to build back up to where we were.
Yeah,
I think he's the manager for it. It's just whether or not those players can keep their heads pulled out of their arses for long enough to not let their heads drop like they did before, just to keep us going until the end of the season. We finish, what, 15th, 14th? I don't care. I don't care. We stay up, and then next season we start building. So this manager's been told he will get money in summer.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get money in summer, so we will have the opportunity to actually spend some money rather than just sell players. Because who the hell would buy our players at the moment? They're not really looking that good.
I think
this is properly optimistic.
Yeah, I think also, like... I feel like you guys will stay up. I just think we've said it all year, you have too good a squad and now probably too good a manager to go down, and you probably will pick up the results. But I reckon what will happen is between now and the end of the year, you will stay up, but you'll lose the odd random games that look a bit like, oh, the team hasn't quite worked itself out yet. And that's what will get ironed out in the summer, is where everything gets gelled together properly. He has a full preseason with his squad and everything. I think you guys will be absolutely fine now. I think, for me, you're pretty much nailed on to stay up.
I'm very hopeful. I mean, post-Koeman, we bought in Pellegrino, and we bought in Puel first. Everyone was very uncertain about that. It wasn't this case like Hasenhüttl where we go, no, this is a made-for fit. This can't fail. And if we fail, we've got to get rid of the players, not the manager. But we weren't really that sure about Puel, and we were really unsure about Pellegrino, and that showed. It showed for our from the entire club. This time, though, we're pretty sure we've got the right man, and it's showing quite early on. Again, consistency mode is what we need to start doing.
Mm-hmm. And it looked like he was able to get a to get his style, because normally when a new manager comes to the club, the thing that helps them win the game is like the boost of morale within the squad and everyone fighting for their place, as opposed to like a radical change in ideas. But against Arsenal, it looked like his ideas as a coach like have got in the squad straight away, like the high pressing, well, getting at them from the front.
His ideas aren't radically different from the likes of what Pochettino was doing and what
Copeland's
doing.
It's not,
and he's got still a lot of those players still there, so it can be easily adopted.
He is basically like, it sounds a bit harsh, but he's basically the poor man's Klopp, isn't he? It's the Gegen press for mid to higher table clubs, which is, frankly, to be honest, perfect for you guys, because it's entertaining as well. You get, and you actually have players really built to do that, like Ings, and somebody like Shane Long is really built to play that. I think he could play quite a lot for the last few games.
Shane Long had a very, very good game.
Yeah, like he is built to just run at people. Like he doesn't have to score a load of goals, but he, you know, he's a right little thug, so he's going to have no problem with running around getting people's faces.
And our best player of the season so far, Højbjerg, is again perfectly built for that kind of
exactly.
Absolutely, let's murder everyone in midfield.
Exactly. Yeah, and Guardiola, like, who plays pressing as well like that, not quite the same, but he loved him at Bayern, so. Yeah, I think you guys will be absolutely fine. I think it's perfect. It makes it really boring that now you're going to be good as well as us. So
yeah. We talked about United Liverpool in some detail in the first part of the show. I don't want to revisit that game too much, but I do want to point out that Liverpool are top of the league. Currently 2-1 to win the title. City are odds on favourites, but Liverpool are currently top and unbeaten, whereas City have lost the game. Who do you make as favourites for the title?
City.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Liverpool, the big difference for me is squad depth. Like, as much as Liverpool's front line has impressed me a little bit more with Sturridge and Shaqiri coming back in, like, we can already see that losing Milner has been quite a shock to them. Mm. And, like, they've got the ox out for the rest of the year. Fabinho's coming in now, and he does look really good and all that. But especially as centre-back, they've now got, I think they are down to Matip and Van Dijk, and because Gomez and Lovren are both out. If they lose one more player, I think they're going to drop a few games, and that's how competitive it is at the top now, where dropping a couple of games could mean the season. So I think City will still win it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everyone made a big deal of it, but they only beat United. That's a mid-table club. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we beat United as well, so.
Yeah. No, I agree. I make City odds on favourites myself. I wouldn't bet against City to win the league, and yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't want Liverpool to win it. I think it would be quite fun if they did. But I do
It does mean I want Liverpool not to win it.
It doesn't.
I want City to win it either, but I'd rather those clubs just both dissolved.
They both like to, like, distribute their players among the rest of the clubs.
Yeah, we'll be fine with getting, like, Wijnaldum or something. We won't get any of the good ones, but
Wijnaldum would fit into that Hasenhüttl system perfectly, because he's a really good presser.
Well, he should be our, you know, number one option in January. I don't reckon we'll be successful.
I highly doubt it.
Okay, so just to finish 2018, we'll move on to the second round of the quiz. And it's over to you again, Shane.
Okay, it's a bit of a shorter round this time because it is a lot harder. Now, it's the same kind of theme as last time, but instead we're going to be asking how many managers have the biggest clubs in Europe had since 2000? And this, because of the difficulty of finding these statistics, isn't going to include caretaker managers. When I say caretaker managers, I don't mean a guy who was there for two games. I mean someone who's been there at least 2 months.
So it isn't going to include that?
No, it includes caretaker managers, but they had to have been there for at least 2 months.
Solskjaer
in this instance would count. That kind of caretaker.
Yeah, that's okay. All right.
I'm also going to give you an error of two either way.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
So, and the top 10 clubs in Europe, not including English clubs, of course, is based on the Football Manager reckoning. I couldn't figure out any other way to do this.
Wait, Shane, tell me, did you use Football Manager as your research? Did you just scroll through and look
at it? No, I didn't, because unfortunately it does not have those stats available.
Okay.
Harry, we're going to start with you first. You get what Football Manager thinks is the biggest club in the world, Real Madrid.
And they have a lot of managers as well.
Remember, you can get two wrong either way, and I'll still give you the point.
Oh, okay. That's sweet.
I'm gonna count since 2000.
Since 2000.
Okay. Okay. I should probably say them out loud just to be interesting. So they've got now, who's the guy they got now? Don't remember his name, but him. Lopetegui would
Thiago
count.
Thiago Solari.
Yeah, that one. Lopetegui would count. Zidane would count. Benitez would count. Mourinho would count. Ancelotti would count. Sven, wasn't Sven? No, it's not Sven. It's Fabio Capello was Real Madrid manager. He would count. Struggling with any more, but there's got to be more than that. So in the last 18 years, I've got seven. I reckon if I've got two either way, I'll go with nine. So I've got 11 and seven.
I think
covered.
It's more than that.
Is it?
Is
nine your answer before I?
Yeah, nine is my answer.
I would say in 18 years, I don't think many. There's a lot of Real Madriders who've gone about a year, so I would have guessed 12 or 13.
Yeah, but Mourinho stayed for three.
Yeah, you got Mourinho and Zidane, but there's so many who only did 1 year.
I can settle this argument.
Yeah.
Both wrong.
Is
the
it?
Answer is 16.
16?
Yeah.
Real Madrid has gone through a lot of managers.
Since 2000?
Yeah. There's a lot of managers who do 1 year and go. There's like Pellegrini.
Yeah.
And
there's actually quite a few managers as well.
Benitez, who was there for about 6 months.
Pellegrini's one. Yeah, but even like Ancelotti. And didn't Ancelotti go there for a couple of years?
There's a lot of that didn't last even a year. And as I said, this is including caretaker managers who lasted at least two months.
That's right.
Anthony, you get the other big Spanish club, Barcelona.
You got Guardiola and Villanueva or whatever his name was.
That's two. Lock in two is your answer.
So you can get zero, correct?
You've got Frank Reich. Yeah. They had the greatest manager of all time, Louis van Gaal.
Louis van Gaal's army.
Yeah, 11.
You guessed 11.
I'm guessing 11.
The answer's 11.
Really?
Bang on. Absolutely bang on.
That's double points, right?
That must be a bonus.
Okay, you get double points if you. So, Harry, you've just made it even worse for yourself.
I have, but that's too impressive to.
So now a new rule is double points if it's bang on. Yeah. Harry, your one is the biggest club in Germany, Bayern München.
Okay.
Job Henkes.
Yeah, that's one.
I can't believe you got 11, bang on. What a guess.
They had two last year.
I'm also going to give you a little bit of a clue. If one manager's been there more than once, they count as two.
Yeah, they count as two. Okay, so it's a point because they have had the guy who went in last season who's joined them like three times.
Yeah.
Whose name I can't remember.
How many separate managers have they had? So how many different managerial?
Yeah, stints as managers. Bloody hell! I don't have a clue. I'll go with nine again.
Well, you get 1 point.
Okay.
Louis
the answer is also 11.
It's 11, okay.
Okay.
I wouldn't have had a clue on that one.
Felix,
you get the biggest club in Italy, Juventus.
I always thought AC Milan were the biggest club. I like AC Milan more. Anyway, okay, all right. So Conte, Allegri.
Those are the two I know.
Yeah, and then I'm stuck. No,
Harry, you need to pick more football manager, man.
I don't like football manager. I bought it 1 year and despised it. I had championship manager at one point, but yeah. Anyway.
Shane, didn't you just point out that football manager doesn't have these stats on it? All I care about is the history I make at these clubs.
Because it seems a good number to guess, I'll go with nine.
I reckon it's slightly less, but that might do it. I would have gone with eight or seven.
Anthony gets 1 point. The answer is again 11.
What the hell? I'm going to guess 11 for the next one.
11. Right. So, Harry, your one. This is a tough one. Atletico Madrid.
Right. So, Simeone for like 5 or 6 years now, isn't it, Simeone? It's a long time.
Yeah, they did. I will give you a little bit of a hint on Atletico Madrid. They weren't obviously always that good. And they did have a little bit of a Roman period where things went very badly.
Yeah. So, I think Simeone's been there for 5 or 6 years, so that wipes out those as any options. They've pretty much only been really good since he's been there, which you're probably right makes me think that they have gone through several managers, but I'll go with 9 again. It's probably more than that.
0 points, I'm afraid.
Yeah. 13
it's
or something
the
like that.
Same amount as Real Madrid. They've had 16 managers.
16.
I could give you a little bit of a point, saying they had a bit of a Roman period, into TV Roman year of four emperors. Yeah. They had 1 year when they went through about six managers.
Fair enough. Wow. I thought that would even itself out with like Simeone having been there for 5 years, like, because most of the other clubs hadn't had somebody who was there for that long.
Hmm. All right. Yeah. Anthony, the biggest club in France. Only since they got some money. Paris Saint-Germain. Also, everyone forgets Paris Saint-Germain. Absolutely nothing before they got money. They weren't even like one of those clubs like Lyon. They didn't
give a shit. They are a money club.
This is what I was going to say. You expect me to know how many managers they had in the 90s. This seems a very...
It's 2000, up to 2000.
Oh, 2000. Oh, that's a bit more... Well, you expect me to know who the PSG manager was in 2000, for God's sake.
is it 2-1 at the moment, by the way?
It is
3 because I've got
Anthony.
Okay. PSG, Laurent Blanc, Carlo Ancelotti, Thomas Tuchel. That's 3, 8.
Emery's another one. That's the 4 I know.
Not quite, I'm afraid. The answer is 11.
It's 11 again. Why are they all 11?
Magic number. Right, Harry.
Right, Shane. Before you say it, I'm guessing 11.
I'm going to actually say it first.
Okay.
Sevilla.
Oh my God, I don't have a clue.
Yeah, we're getting into tough territory.
Emery's one.
Yeah, that is one. The problem is they're the kind of club that when they have anybody particularly good, they get poached immediately. Like everyone I've heard out of Sevilla for last year, it's only been one or two. So I reckon it's quite a lot. I'm going to go with 13.
Harry gets a point.
Oh,
is it 11? 15.
It's 15. Okay, I'm glad I trusted my instincts to go higher. 15 in 18 years, man.
It's 3-1 to Anthony at the moment. Anthony, you've got a chance with the 3-2. Other big club. 3-2, sorry. And the other big club in Germany, Borussia Dortmund.
Jürgen Klopp was there for a while.
I actually know how long he was there as well, I think.
400 years.
Yep, he's actually like a frost giant. He's actually very old, fueled with beer. I don't think that helps that much, actually, though, knowing how long Klopp was there.
Well, no, it does. If he was there for 400 years, like...
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm not sure. Well, there'd be someone who replaced him. I'm going to say lower than some of the others, so I'll say 7.
That's what I'd guess. Klopp was there for 8 years, I think.
0 points. They've had 12 managers.
Bastard.
It's higher than you would expect.
Yeah, because I remember seeing when Klopp was Liverpool manager that he's been at both his previous clubs for 8 years or something ridiculous.
Now, Harry, we're getting into, you're both gonna have a very good chance in these next two questions, and these are your last two. Harry, if you get more than a point, you get a bang on, you've won. You've won your first ever quiz. So you're one, and it is a fucking tough one.
Okay. It's going to be like Inter. Again, I can't think of any manager who's been there for very long amounts of time. Because they've got... I don't even know who they have at the moment. Is it... It's that bald guy, isn't it? Who plays like... He's used to be Sevilla manager.
Mourinho's not returned yet, has he?
I don't know. That would be interesting. He won't last 2 months anyway, so he doesn't count. I reckon, again, it's probably quite a lot because they've also been particularly average for a good amount of those years. But they also probably had somebody for quite a long time. I'm going to go with 14.
No, 0 points. They had the most.
Did they?
19 managers.
Wow, in 18 years. Okay, at least I didn't overestimate it. I would have been more annoyed if I'd overestimated it, I think.
Now, Anthony,
like if I said 21,
it's the last question. It's 3-2 to Harry.
It's 3-2 to you. You've won.
Well, unlucky, Harry.
Can I have
the last question? You can rub it in. AC Milan.
That would be. You said that one's the most.
Well, it's Gattuso and Zaghi. Wasn't Mancini there for a bit, maybe?
I think that won't be far off Inter's. I think that'll be really high as well because they've been a catastrophe.
For Ancelotti like, was there for a while. I'm trying to think back to when they were good. I can't remember who was in charge.
Yeah, I mean, when they had like Kaká and stuff and they were really good, did they have like one permanent manager?
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was Carlo Ancelotti, wasn't it?
Ancelotti was there for a while, yeah. I'm going to say 12 because I think it's lower than Inter's. I'll say 12.
Might be, yeah.
12?
12's my answer.
Zero. 0 points. It's 15. Okay.
15.
But that does mean Anthony wins that round, so Harry still hasn't won a quiz.
I'll take a draw, though. I'll take another point.
Yeah, you've drawn again, so
I'm like Brighton. I'm drawing all the time.
When I did that second quiz, I did it for 20 teams, so it was a whole bunch of other teams I did as well.
Yeah.
I found that actually foreign clubs are far more likely to sack managers than English clubs are. All the abuse we sort of talk about, you know, English clubs going through managers, sacking and... Yeah, the sack rate's all about a lot of hiring and firing. English clubs actually have quite low numbers, because you've got to remember as well, the numbers we were doing for those English clubs there went back to 1992, an additional 8 years, what we just did there.
But they were without caretakers.
Yeah, and the highest one was Chelsea, 14, and with caretakers, they were 21.
Yeah, and they are the, like, notorious sacking.
Compared to Real Madrid, 16 in 18 years.
Yeah, that's
and that's not including all the caretakers, the ones who were there for even shorter periods. Yeah. Actually, when people talk about the English clubs being, you know, sacking clubs, that's actually a bit of an unfair reputation. Start looking up some of the other stats. German clubs are awful.
So the point German of this whole exercise was that. So the point of this exercise was to prove that Mourinho deserves more time at United.
That is exactly what I've done. Mourinho deserved 20 years more.
Mourinho deserved 20 years more at United. That's this week's title.
If he had done that, he could have completed his Chelsea mission of destroying Man United. When he goes to Tottenham now, that's the second phase of the mission. Destroy Tottenham too.
All right, well, we'll wrap up 2018 of V2 Football Podcast there. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. If you're interested in wrestling, we've got The Machine, Brian Cage, who is interviewed by Chris Lappin ahead of Impact's homecoming pay-per-view on the 6th of January, so you can check that out. We'll be back next year where we'll be starting off 2019 with a big quiz of the year, which I'm looking forward to. I hope you guys have a great Christmas, a happy new year. It's goodbye from me, Shane Lees, and Harry Philby. Good night.
Good night.